Trauma and the Primitive Brain with Rick Wilkes
and Kathy Martulli. Rick, what is trauma?
Well, trauma is an apparently life-threatening situation where we feel defenseless. And I know you've done a lot of research on this area. How is it different for children?
Well, to children, it can be the threat or even the appearance of rejection, since they know they can't survive on their own. If they're abandoned, they're going to die. It could be the denial of something that feels important and we think we really need. And it could be a sense of confusion if we don't understand how the world is working and we're not sure if we'll be able to figure it out.
And this perception may not be logical to us as adults looking at the same situation.
Yeah.
However, as long as it feels frightening and life-threatening to a child, it's internalized as a trauma. And we say it's frozen in time.
Yes. That brings us to how the body responds to trauma. There's three different natural responses to threat. There is fight, flight, and freeze. And as part of the domestication process, humans are really trained out of fighting and fleeing for the most part. Our parents don't appreciate it when we kick them in the shins, and if we run away, they chase us down.
That's right.
So we see an overabundance of freeze responses.
Well, animals, they naturally discharge the freeze response, the trauma, when they come out of it. They'll tremble, they'll shake, and they'll run. And like you mentioned, we humans, we've been conditioned out of most of that. We're told to calm down, pull yourself together, stop overreacting, it's going to be okay. The problem is that undischarged trauma stays stored in our body, again, frozen in time.
Our primitive brain, which evolved eons ago, has a guiding purpose of keeping us safe, survive no matter what the cost.
When the primitive brain perceives a threat, it reacts to protect us. It only knows those three options, fight, flight, or freeze. And so its reactions are not necessarily rational, except from that perspective of the primitive survival need that we all have.
Yes. The primitive brain focuses on keeping us safe no matter what. And it's important. It has first and immediate access to our reflexes and actions. So if we put our hand down on a hot stove, we don't even think about moving it. Our body is already moving before our cognitive brain says, oh, wait, this is hot.
That's right.
It's very helpful because we don't get a bad burn. But if our boss is yelling at us and our primitive brain wants to fight him or run away, it's not so helpful.
The primitive brain has data, but it may not be accurate, and it may not stay accurate as we grow older.
Yeah.
And the good news is that we can recondition these responses, especially if someone through repetitive conditioning in an unsafe environment becomes constantly vigilant. We can recondition our responses to be resourceful and calm.
Tapping seems to be much more effective with that than talk therapy. Tapping seems to access, connect, and reprogram the primitive brain in a remarkably fast way.
Now, this is our perspective on it. There are many different ways of looking at what tapping does. But when you look at it from the perspective of the primitive brain and how we start reacting, literally reacting differently once you've tapped on a situation, whether it's just reprogramming the primitive brain or there's a lot more going on, doesn't really matter. What we do know is that tapping seems to create a relief inside this primitive brain, so it's not reacting the same way that it always did.
Yes. This is a diagram of the brain, and it shows where the primitive brain is. It shows that the primitive brain is down near the brainstem. It's the part, some people call it the reptilian brain. There's actually several layers in there, and we're not going to go into that. Just to show you, though, that the cognitive brain is over the top, and the primitive brain is deep inside the center.
And that the line coming up from the left into the old brain, that's your spinal cord. So all of the sensory input from your system goes into the old brain first, the primitive brain first.
Yeah, it gets first call on everything.
And as you noted here on the right, the new brain is about thinking, cognition, how we process things from a logical, rational, artistic way. The old brain, reaction. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? And it has to decide very quickly.
Yes. The primitive brain forms a lot of mental links, and it stores information in a little bit different way than we might think. Say you're a little kid, and you're feeling really good. You're out in the sunshine eating an apple. You're wearing your very favorite shirt, and you're just having a great time. And your dad comes along and starts yelling at you all of a sudden, or a mean dog starts barking at you and you think he's going to attack you. If you feel scared, overwhelmed, and have no way to comfort yourself, you feel like you can't protect yourself, your primitive brain is going to react.
And we needed to. Our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents needed this kind of reaction because they lived in a very unsafe world, yeah, relatively speaking, compared to the world that we live in. So, you know, if you're terrified but you're not able to run away or fight back, this is where you freeze. And the primitive brain, in that moment of freezing, it stores all the sensory information on this trauma. Not only, you know, the dad or the dog, but the apple, the sun, the smells, the feelings. So to the primitive brain, yes, angry dad, angry dog, danger. But it also might associate apple in the sun, danger. Or you need to be vigilant for danger when you're eating an apple in the sun. You're wearing a blue shirt. Uh-oh, danger. You're more at risk wearing a blue shirt. You're enjoying yourself. Ah, need to be on the lookout. Danger is around. Those are the types of associations that can be made in a primitive level that make sense. There's a certain logic to them if we look at it from that perspective, but they're not well thought out, certainly. Why? Because the primitive brain doesn't think out. Our new brain thinks out.
One of the interesting things I read, Rick, is that once a trauma is discharged, the cognitive brain has crack at it. So it can start saying, oh, delete the part that apple in the sun equals danger. Delete that the blue shirt is dangerous. But as long as the trauma is frozen, the cognitive brain isn't getting a chance to work on it and analyze it.
Right.
So you have a reaction. If your primitive brain is believing these things, the next time you eat an apple in the sun or wear your blue shirt, you might feel inexplicably frightened or vigilant. And you might suddenly hate apples or get a stomach ache when you eat them.
You might feel distressed just thinking about the shirt. You may suddenly decide that's not your favorite shirt anymore.
Yeah.
It's not something that you'll realize why necessarily. We don't usually look for these associations, but that's one of the things we're teaching here, is to be aware that when suddenly you turn against something or you remember that, well, I used to like blue shirts, but no, I don't, there might be an association at work here.
Your primitive brain is just trying to protect you from what it decided was dangerous.
And I love that we can use tapping to shift the primitive brain, change those associations, and find better, more resourceful ways to protect ourselves.
I love it too. The primitive brain isn't only reacting to physical dangers. It's also designed to react strongly if there's social pressures. Rick, you often talk about how our brain evolved when we lived in isolated tribes. Part of our brain did.
If you were a member of that tribe who didn't, quote, fit in, you might not receive help from the others. You could even be cast out to die. So our primitive brain is trying to protect us from becoming, literally, an outcast.
Tapping can help the primitive brain re-perceive the world as it is now, rather than saying, oh, I have to be friendly to my neighbor because if he doesn't like me, I might not survive.
Right.
By updating the information, you can look around and some of us might have 50,000 people within a square mile of us, and there's lots of options. Our primitive brain also latches onto positive associations. Rick, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, anything that we do or is in the environment that gets us what we need, we will also have an association for us. So, for example, starvation and isolation are dangerous to survival. We require nourishment and connection in order to thrive. So our primitive brain is going to try to guide us toward connection, and it may hold on to the association even when it's no longer healthy or useful. Let me give you an example. So imagine that every time your mother was in a good mood, she baked cookies and she cuddled you. You may have an association in your primitive brain that cookies is good mood, connection, and love. So as an adult, when you feel lonely or sad, you might find yourself reaching for cookies even if you're not hungry. What you're really hungry for, what you really need, is that feeling that you had of being in a good mood, being cuddled, love. So remember, the primitive brain can override the rest of the brain, so it's going to get you the feeling that you want, and you can beat yourself up for not having, quote, willpower, but really it could be your primitive brain reaching for the love energy that it craves.
We could talk about it all day long, but that may not shift the primitive brain. By doing some tapping on the memories, it can update the information, as we said. You can tap on the memory itself, or you can do some inner tapping on the important aspects of the incident. That's usually really effective. There's another video on inner tapping that goes into the details on that, but basically, you're going back and imagining that you're tapping on that younger self and helping that part of you unfreeze and move into the modern world.
Well, this gives us a lot of freedom, and it's one of the things that we do a lot of in our group coaching calls, is to help people do that kind of inner tapping, to go back to the energy that's stored and frozen and unfreeze it, reclaim that power, reclaim that energy.
Just like us, I'm sure you get tired of fighting yourself sometimes. The self-sabotage, the struggle to get what you want, to make yourself move towards what you really desire. Tapping away these old fears and blocks leaves a lot of room for positive movement to create what you want.
One of the things you'll discover if you do this type of tapping on the old traumas, and we don't necessarily mean things that you might think of as traumas. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily accidents or sexual abuse or falling down a flight of stairs or being teased to the point of tears. Those are obvious traumas, but they can be little things that your brain stores because it felt like a threat. It felt like something that you were not safe. Your survival was at risk. And from a two-year-old's perspective, that covers a pretty broad range.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do this tapping, when you stop fighting yourself, you will find yourself naturally experiencing more abundance and joy because you'll have the energy of abundance and joy. It won't all be frozen up in these old memories. And you get the opportunity to really live a thriving life.
Yes. It's important to stay grounded. Some of these issues may bring up strong emotions, even if they don't seem like big traumas, like Rick said. Small traumas, if they're frozen to a two-year-old, can be very overwhelming. So take care of yourself. For some people, that may mean just to keep tapping without saying anything. There's also some grounding exercises at this length that could help you.
One of the things that this type of tapping does is it frees you up to have a broader range of choices. What was best for you at 3, for example, might have been to freeze. At 5 and 15, also, to freeze. As an adult, well, what's best for you now may be quite different. If your primitive brain is still stuck back when you were 3, it may freeze in situations where you could be much more resourceful, professional, and engaged with the situation. So by releasing these old traumas, it allows you to make choices that are right for you right now.
If you'd like some support with this kind of work, team members can check out the group coaching pages. We do a lot of inner tapping and other techniques to release traumas.
And if you're looking for coaching support and you're not yet a team member, you can check out our group coaching program at thrivingnow.com/team. For 5 years, we've helped people with these kinds of energies, and it's something that we dearly love to do. You would be so welcome in our group. If you find that is a yes for you, we invite you to join us.
Warmest wishes.
Thank you all.